It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. We are 6 minutes from throw-in in Hyde Park. And the usual nod to the atmosphere being strange. I mean, I suppose we've talked as much as we possibly can about it, but each time, for historic purposes perhaps, as people listen back to this in future years, we've got to acknowledge it. Edwin McGrail, welcome along.
Hi Rob, great to be here. As we said during some of the club games behind closed doors, it is a privilege to be here. It feels like, I compared it to being at an intimate U2 gig, but I think you got it better. It's like being at a recording of a Rolling Stones album or something, where you're here to witness it firsthand, but it's for the enjoyment of others. The players aren't playing to enjoy for the benefit of those of us up here in the crowd. It's the many hundreds of thousands watching at home on TV. But yeah, very strange. I see a lot of drawings to fill some of the seats. Some school kids have done drawings, adding a little bit of colour to proceedings. But yeah, it's strange to be here for a championship game and look across the far side. Even like, there's people scattered around the stand media wise. Look at the far terrace, and there's not a sinner there, not a steward. I don't even see a cameraman. And in normal circumstances, that terrace would be full.
All right, throw in is upon us. Kevin McLaughlin, the late change, and I think Mike Finnerty predicted that in an edit in the podcast. It actually never made the podcast, which is creating quite a lot of tension in WhatsApp groups, let's put it that way. But I have the audio evidence, should anyone challenge Mike. He predicted Dermot O'Connor would be in, Chris Barrett and Kevin McLaughlin. And I think from that perspective, it's all about the breaks. Aidan O'Shea is going in for the throw-in. And so a Dermot O'Connor, just to mix it up a little bit. Let's see who ends up in midfield. Edwin, we're ready to go.
Yeah, it's I see Matty Ruan here is getting to grips with Niall Daly at wing forward. I don't know, is Matty Ruan going to be there for the whole game? But Aidan O'Shea seemed to be pushed to the ground by Cathal Compton and got the free on the throw-in. So yeah, Mayo with the first attack. But yeah, Roscommon laying down a couple of markers.
Mayo have just gone 6-2 ahead. Killian O'Connor, scrappy ball. Just really well won. O'Donoghue's ball in was probably a bit high, but it just bounced down. Mayo working hard. Great league.
Yeah, and it's what we wanted to see from them. I suppose they're at it in terms of intensity-wise, in terms of being up for it, which you'd hope they would like. But Roscommon not maybe getting the return from their possession. They've only had three shots, but they've done quite well on their own kickouts. And it'll be interesting to see if they can end a Smith with a shot there and just going wide on the near side. So definitely Mayo making much better use of the ball than Roscommon so far. And yeah, I think they are good value for that lead, but it comes with the asterisk beside it that you can see the danger in Roscommon if they get good ball to that full forward line. They just haven't been able to do it so far, and a lot of that is down to how Mayo have started the game.
Dermot O'Connor has buried a beautiful shot. We have the perfect angle on it, Edwin. Water break. Mayo 1-6 to 2 points. He only had a tiny, tiny angle to aim.
Oh yeah, like you were thinking probably could he have squared it inside Owen McLaughlin, but he backed himself there. It had to go into the side netting or in off the post, and that was the only space he could have hit it from that the angle he was at, and he found it brilliantly. And yeah, water break. Mayo 7 points up. Have to be honest, Rob, I don't think any of us saw this coming.
Nope.
Which not so much that Mayo's form line was particularly bad, but Roscommon were I suppose coming into this game with good results, and there was a huge air of uncertainty about this game. But Mayo have started brilliantly, and the challenge now is how do they approach the game now that they've started so well? Do they keep trying to do the same things? Do they naturally kind of sit back and invite Roscommon on? But how both teams approach this second quarter will determine how the game is going to go, because it's at a crucial stage now for Roscommon. Like, they're 7 points behind, and they can't let that little lead get any greater.
Deep in first half injury time, 1-8 to 5 points. Mayo lead. Dave Goff has just told the players it's halftime, okay, lad. So he's just trying to stop them banging into each other on this kick out, which is the kind of refereeing that I like about David Goff. It's just little details in how he communicates with players. I heard him a couple of times saying advantage over and stuff, but you know, he just kind of understands some of those smaller, finer details. Edwin McGrail, Mayo by 6 points at halftime. Happy days overall before we get into the detailed analysis.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Wouldn't have been a situation we would have predicted in advance. Like, there would have been anyone I spoke to Mayo this week was worried about this game, and with good reason. And Roscommon were quite bullish, and with good reason. And there was a sense that whatever about Anatells, it was going to go to the wire, that it was going to be neck and neck. And so for either team to be 6 points in front at half time was not something I think we saw coming. So definitely a great situation for Mayo to be in. James Horan would have absolutely taken this if he'd offered him beforehand. But if you asked him now, is he happy with a 6 point lead? He mightn't be, which just kind of sums up how good Mayo have been at times, that they might be having regrets about not being further ahead.
One highlight of the second quarter, if you like, since the water break, was Tommy Conroy's beautiful point. Absolutely class. He's had a good all-round battling game, Tommy, but that was his first point from play. But one major standout point for me is Mayo, in around straight after that water break, had about six attacks. Three wides by my count, you can tell me the details, and three kind of turnovers where they overplayed it. Those kind of wasteful attacks are kind of going to be critical, if not in the second half, then certainly in future games.
Yeah, and I remarked with the first one of those six, the first one of the three wides was from Ryan O'Donoghue, and it was the first time I noticed Mayo taking the wrong decision in attack, and that was what was so good about them in the first quarter, was their decision making in possession was so good. And Ryan kind of had a wild shot when he should have recycled the ball, and that kind of got into Mayo's game a little bit after that then as well. Paddy Durkin, not so much a wrong decision, but a poor execution from a good position. Conor Loftus took a great line to drive through, and we could hear the management praising him for his line run, but again, should have probably scored. But then a few times after that, just the wrong decision taken by the guy in possession. Roscommon had a lot of bodies back, and Mayo just didn't move the ball quickly enough. They weren't fluid enough, and very good in terms of putting Roscommon under pressure, very good at retaining their own possession. Like, Mayo only lost one of their own kickouts, whereas Roscommon have lost five of theirs. Now, granted, Roscommon have had a lot more kickouts as a whole, but Mayo have had ample possession to be 6 points and more in front, and I think that's what will annoy James Horan. It's just not even complacency, but just a few errors creeping into the game that, you know, if Mayo can maintain or regain the levels that they had in the first quarter in terms of the fluency of their play, they won't be beaten here today. But if they continue making wrong decisions in possession and taking the wrong option and just not hammering home the advantage when they do have the ball, that's when, you know, the longer that goes on, the more Roscommon can creep back into this game. So that's what we all be worried about.
Killian O'Connor has just kicked Mayo's third point of the half. 1-11 playing 5 points. Edwin, we're 8 minutes into the second half, and it just chime in here for 2 seconds. The start to the second half is everything you want from Mayo in terms of intensity and work rate.
Yeah, they're probably a little bit deeper in terms of so when they're carrying the ball, they're having to run it a bit more, but they're playing very smart, they're doing the right things, and they're just working so hard, and they're turning over Roscommon, and every turnover is just sucking the wind out of Roscommon so much. Conor Loftus has been excellent in that regard, and Lee Keegan has been tremendous. He set up that score for Killian O'Connor there, and Jermaine O'Connor just set up the ground. So yeah, every time that Mayo manage to do that, I think it's just Roscommon, it's the hole is bigger and bigger for Roscommon, not just in terms of the scoreboard, but just in terms of, you know, trying to dig themselves out of this.
One 13 plays 9 points, and Roscommon had just shown some proper good life, a couple of nice scores. Niall Daly with a particular peach of a score, but Mayo found a way out of a tricky patch just before the water break. I had said maybe they need the water break. They needed a point more than the water break.
Yeah, absolutely. And they had struggled with a couple of their own kickouts, and Roscommon got, I think, three in a row. And it was just back down to 6 points, which was still a good gap. But I suppose when it was 9 points, there was a bit of momentum behind Roscommon. And just coming up to the water break, Mayo were just doing a couple of wrong things in possession. And then I think it was Kevin McLaughlin, Paddy Durkin, and I think Matty Ruin was the third guy, who just worked a lovely little triangle, and Roscommon just got caught a little bit ball watching, and suddenly Paddy emerged from a quick little intricate series of hand passes and kept going. And I think Roscommon kept thinking he was going to pass, but Paddy says, "No, thanks lads, I'll keep going myself," and kicked it over the bar. Great score, but great drive by Paddy Durkin just when Mayo needed a score, just to settle it a little bit.
Dermot O'Connor comes off the field. Killian O'Connor has a free on the 13-metre line. Mark Moran just won a free. took a massive hit for his troubles and got a little pat on the head from Aidan O'Shea while he was lying on the ground to say, well done, young lad.
Yeah, it's just, I suppose, Mayo had held the ball for a long period of time there and slowly and methodically found a way around the Roscommon defence. And Owen McLaughlin eventually made the incision, offloaded to Mark Moran and put it over. And that's the type of score that shows that Mayo are in control, that they were able to slow it down, keep possession, wait and wait. And Roscommon didn't look too engaged with pushing up on them, and then eventually Mayo were able to find their way forward and get the free and get the score. So that just shows the control Mayo are in now, leading 114 to 9 points with less than 10 minutes to go.
Build up play there. Stephen Cohen held the ball for a few minutes there under a bit of pressure and steady, as you like. Conor Loftus, we've mentioned him a few times, will continue to do so. Beautiful link play and a lovely outlet pass at one point.
Yeah, I've been very, very impressed by Conor Loftus. His work rate has been phenomenal. Like, he's not a, I was going to say, a natural midfielder. He's not a traditional midfielder in the sense that he's not big, like, but he's been competing as best he can on kickouts and breaking them. And, you know, he was outfielded for maybe a couple of them, but he's really, really fought very hard. And he took up great positions wide on the ball as well, and just always is offering himself and has turned over a couple of balls. But the likes of him, the likes of Lee Keegan, you know, you could go through so many of the Mayo players like Paddy Durkin, Kevin McLaughlin. There's been some very, very workmanlike performances.
Look at Owen McLaughlin
after
there,
turning over the ball there again and going after it. And Mayo are up for it in a way that Roscommon don't seem to be. And it's not that simple. It's never that simple, but that's how it's looking from our vantage point here. Mayo are just fighting for every ball, and they've managed to turn over Roscommon there on the sideline.
Oh, that was incredible. They just hunted after McLaughlin had got that ball broken. They needed two players to just charge in on the back of Mullooly, and he was just, he had nowhere to go. He ended up over the sideline. It's brilliant to watch. I'm really enjoying it. Just, I'm enjoying the intensity of Mayo's performance when it's needed.
Absolutely, and I think that turnover there, I think if there was a crowd here, I think you'd start to see a few Rossies filing for the exits. But yeah. And Mayo are in utter control now.
Killian O'Connor kicks a point, 115 to 9 points. I feel safe that we can wait till full time to have our next record. Last few seconds, we were told 4 minutes additional time. There's 15 seconds of that to go. Mayo lead by 6. Roscommon have tagged on a few nice scores. With Mark Moran winning a battle to win the ball, going away from goal, but doing well, being strong. Aidan O'Shea's showing for it, and it's just, this is the name of a few guys who play well. Lee Keegan takes a whack and doesn't get a free. On we go.
It's remained, you know, like we said, never less than 6 points in this second half, and that's a useful buffer, in fairness, like, you know. And it's never looked in doubt, even though just a little bit complacent, like we say, coming into injury time there. If Roscommon got a goal, it would have been more nervous than it needed to be for a team that was in complete control. But
they didn't get that goal chance even, so that was the key, I guess. They had a bit of possession off turnovers, and as you said, they'll probably analyse the standards a wee bit.
That's the thing, I suppose, giving out about things like that and giving out about not maybe seeing it out and winning by double digits, well then I think that's a nice position to be in as the final whistle sounds there. And I have to admit, I'm very, very impressed with Mayo there today. I did not see that game being as easy as it was, and hats off to them. Hats off to James Horan in terms of the selection. The team that started was very, very strong, and are played very, very well. And Mayo were where they needed to be in terms of team selection, in terms of their energy levels, in terms of their intensity and their attitude for it. And Roscommon, by contrast, weren't. And you know, Mayo showed us that there's plenty more in them. And you know, there might be some people talking about a rebuilding phase, but the here and now, Mayo are still a serious opposition, even with a mixture of the youth, young and old guys.
We'll talk more in a while. Let's go from here to the post game interviews.
GRG Sports are proud sponsors of this podcast. Kit out your team today. Bespoke team sportswear designed by players for players. Be game, be ready, be geared. Check out our website at grg-sports.com.
I thought we started well and dominated a lot of the key parts of the game. For shooting boots were on a bit better, particularly in the second quarter. We could have been ahead a little bit more, but look at overall what you're looking for in championship football. I thought a lot of our energy and our work rate was very strong, so be happy with that.
even though conditions were different than a week ago, James, how important was it to have that win over Leitrim?
Every win's important, and we got to introduce a lot of new guys to championship last week, and you know, there's a few, you know, every game tells you a few things. So there's a few things from last week that we were very poor on, so we improved those a bit today. There's lots of stuff today that we need to do a bit more on during the week as well. So you always learn something every game you play. So
when you started well, the goal was crucial. It's emphatic. It gave you a 7-point lead.
Yeah, it gave us a 7-point lead. I think it shook Roscommon a bit as well. It was just before the water break, I think, or just for a break in play. So I think it gave them a bit of a shake. You know, they have a very good record with goals conceded. So I think that shook them. But I just thought our application around the place was strong, and we were on top. They did well in breaking ball in the first quarter, but we turned that around a little bit. Look, overall, with how we played, I'd be happy.
James, overall in the county, the build-up to this game, there was a bit of trepidation, and I don't think confidence levels were overly high outside of the camp. Was that something you noticed, and did you feed on it? Because you said you were well psyched for it. Was that kind of talk, did it feed into your build-up?
No, not at all. To be honest, I haven't a clue what's going on or what people are thinking or saying. You know, this year more than any, because with so much news from elections to COVID, like if you start taking in news, your focus won't be what it needs to be. So. We're fairly clear. Look, we're a very happy bunch, to be honest. Trying to learn and develop. We had another new starter today, so that's eight or nine. I think we've introduced in two games to championship football. We're learning as a team. We're trying to figure stuff out, and we'll do the same again Tuesday night and see if we improve again.
How strange is it here playing games in the high with no supporters? The usual atmosphere that attends this game is so marked absent. And does it help or hinder ye as a team in terms of communication?
I think when the game... Oh, I think communication for us, it makes it a lot easier, makes it a lot simpler, and you can talk to the players from the sideline, which you can't in any other game. So I think from our side it helps. And but once the game starts, I don't think it impacts the players too much with this crowd there.
How much of an advantage would it be to me having played two championship matches, and conversely, how much of a disadvantage to go away?
Well, I said earlier, you definitely learn every time you play, even the logistics and timings and everything else, and you know what works for you is good and all that kind of stuff. And then the games, you learn a lot from the games. So, look, we're happy with where we are and what's going on. And as I said, we'll have lots of guys competing Tuesday night now for the squad. So, looking forward to that.
You said again, eight or nine different new guys coming. Like that shows obviously a lot of confidence you have in the group coming through. And when you're walking tight, there's no back door to get back into the team, into the championship.
Like, well, you know, I think I said to you early on, we're going on form, and who's showing energy, and there's a certain way we want to play, and we're, you know, everyone's fine with that. So it all depends who's going well, and Tuesday night can dictate who. You know, very much who's selected on the Thursday on the 26th. So it's that makes your training sessions very, very competitive. So that's just the way it is.
The voice of James Horan chatting to the wider media. Interesting stuff there. Before myself and Edwin, we're here in the stand, Edwin. Before we get into the meat and drink of wrapping up our section of the podcast, Billy Joe Patton to come to wrap up the weekend. But as we sit here in a empty and deserted, even most of the media are gone home, Hyde Park, we're in good form, and James Horan sounded as happy as James Horan can sound.
Yeah, definitely.
Content.
Content is the word, I think, absolutely. Why wouldn't he be? A lot of us would have had doubts about this game before today, and wouldn't have been overly confident, because there was a sense that, you know, Mayo were going through a lot of changes. Physically, they weren't. Their middle-aid wasn't as strong as it... I kept saying that last week as well. It wasn't as strong as it had been. And could they get enough possession, and could they do enough damage, and could they afford to leave Aidan O'Shea full forward for long patches of the game? And it turns out they could, and they did. And they worked so hard around the middle eight that it just wasn't just about size. And while the best fielders on the pitch were the two Roscommon midfielders, when that ball went onto the ground and became dirty ball, it was Mayo that were all over it. And that's always a good indication of who's up for it and who's not. And, you know, there's an element of luck with breaks, but over a course of a full half of football, if a team is winning more breaks than the other, it means they're mentally at it, and Mayo were mentally at it, and Roscommon weren't. And you know, we got to the stage where we were kind of thinking, they should be winning this game by more, which is a situation we would have been delighted with in advance, you know. But no, like, I have to say hats off to James Horne in terms of the selection and what he's looking to do there. I would have been worried going up to this game. I think a lot of Mayo people would have been. But he's watching this group of players all the time. He knows what he wants in the team. He knows who can do the jobs to the best of what he needs from them, and he picks his team accordingly. And yeah, we saw the return for that here today.
Brilliant little segue and link, because you mentioned the middle eight, to our audio from straight after the game. Martin Carney has been very kind with his time these last few weeks, every so often, to join us after his stint on Midwest Radio, and he has joined us again. Andy Moran was beside him, and was very kind with his time as well. Andy Moran on second captains these days. Well, we're to listen later this week, as he'll have even more time to take all this in and think about the Galway match. But here is a very, very interesting piece of analysis from the two lads straight after the final whistle. A few seconds after the game, I've got Martin Carney, just finished on Midwest Radio. Andy Moran, you're doing a bit for radio as well. How's the media career starting here?
Yeah, I'm not sure it'll take off. I think I'm too biased for a start. I think I'm too biased towards Mayo. I made sure I was wearing a bit of Mayo today coming in. So, no, it was great to see the boys playing well. I thought we controlled the game just from start to finish. I thought as soon as Jeremy got the goal, we were all expecting, I think me and Martin were both expecting a Roscommon fight back or a Roscommon reprieve at some stage. Just never came, and Mayo just cruised through it. Like, even the likes of Aidan, who was just out there linking the play nice and steady, never really had to get involved. Great for James Horne, because Aidan gets running into his legs, doesn't have to get into vital areas where he might get injured, and all of a sudden you're into Connacht final there. And you know, James' record in Connacht finals, I think, is probably 100%, is it?
That's one thing, and I was going to say it's been so long since we were in Connacht final. Martin, I have to ask you, like, I mean, were we foolish for being as nervous as we were before this game?
I don't think so. No, I think rightly so. Like, I mean, what you have with Mayo at the moment is a team in transition. An awful lot of new fellas being integrated into the team. And it's one thing, like, they're all good footballers. They're on merit. But sometimes when you have new guys coming in, it's a question of trying to integrate them, trying to get them to understand one another's play, trying to get them to dovetail, kind of work in harmony with one another. And very often when a team is in transition, that aspect of the game is something that takes a while to establish. But today, Andy, and I think you'll agree with it, Rod, their teamwork was outstanding. I just thought they played so much cohesion for so long. The only kind of little blip I thought in that respect was maybe coming up to halftime, when they started to run into cul-de-sacs up the middle, and when they turned over the ball, and after that first water break where they kicked six wides in the trot, like, you know, be honest about it, we should have been home and hosed at half time.
Just going on that point with Martin in transition, you've got to realise our middle eight, Martin, was Lee Keegan, Colin Boyle, Donny Vaughan, Tom Parsons, Shamey Shea, Jason Doherty, Aidan O'Shea, Kevin McLaughlin. And if you look at that eight now, that's totally changed. But what I was really happy with today, and I'm sure you're the same, there's only two of them. And what I really enjoyed today was when the game was in the pipeline, it was, just say that third quarter, first come and get a bit going there, then the energy goes. Lee Keegan, two massive turnovers, two scores. Paddy Durkin, massive point. I heard you raving about it, Mary. Yeah. And then Killian O'Connor, 4 points, one after another, just after half time, and the game's over.
And add into that, there was one lovely cameo on the far side there with Joe McLaughlin, with Owen McLaughlin, where he turned over a ball, where he actually kind of, do you remember, he horsed in a guy out over the sideline. We got a score out of it. It was fabulous. And then they kind of went muttering and giving out to the referee, and all of a sudden, sure, they just handed us a score.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a really exciting team. I think we need to give the boys space to express themselves.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any way disrespect by me, you, Martin, any of us coming unsure. How can we be sure?
Do you know what
I'm saying? Look, like, the league was kind of big transformation of a team. We've great experience on the sideline. Who knows where we could end up? Just as long as you give me a job and you bring me to Crow Park, I'm happy enough. That's all I want.
And then it's into the game and put our name on the game.
Yeah, hey, that's all we wanted. We don't even want sandwiches. Just bring us to the game. We're happy enough.
How has he come up with this idea of Conor Loftus and Matty Ran in midfield? You know, obviously Matty is a brilliant midfielder, but Conor Loftus, it seems like a genius move. Am I going too far now all of a sudden the other direction?
We just have to give it time, I think.
Yeah,
I think
it looks good right now.
I think that's the key thing. We both agree with that, like myself and Andy, that you have to give it time. And these guys are knitting the game together very well. Conor Loftus in particular, as the game went on today, some wonderful score. He does things very simply. He gets ball, he looks up, he links game up very well. You rarely see him running into trouble. Yeah. And he got a lovely score today that, in a sense, franked an awful lot of the good work he'd done previously.
Yes, I agree, yeah.
You know, but you just need to give them that little bit of time.
But if you look at a tour, and I was saying this, that game, remember the game down in 2016 down in Markovitch, Roscommon played Meath under-21. Great game, one of the best games. Well, I had a bit added to it because Mike and John Ginty, two of my mates, were the managers.
That's the day young Irwin got a couple of great scores.
And if you look at that, centre-back Stevie Cohen, midfield Matty Moran, Dermot O'Connor, centre-forward Conor Loftus. Them four boys start today. They know each other. Yeah, Stephen sitting behind Conor knows his weaknesses, knows what he can do, knows where he's going to be, and sometimes that helps. And now Conor is in a position where he's not being tightly marked from a wing half back. He's a bit more loose, and then all of a sudden he gets a chance.
So what you're saying to me, and what I'm hearing the mid late mentioned more than I've heard in other seasons. It's like, it's not that Conor Loftus is a midfielder. It's just he's part of a different strategy to how we go about winning ball around the middle.
I think so, and it's a part of your transition strategy. So you have a Paddy Durkin who's a runner behind him, you have a Stephen Cohen who's a runner, you have a Noel McLaughlin that's a runner, and then you have a Conor Loftus that's a kicker. Do you know what I'm saying? It just mixes it up a bit, and it's a nice little change. And why that middle eight has been mentioned so much, that was our lifeblood. That was our team. If you look at our half back line with Boyner and Lee Keegan, there's eight all stars there between the two of them, and then you change it. So we just have to wait, you know?
Yeah, and when you look at it today, James Horan has stuck to his principles. He's of the opinion that this team can evolve and become a better team by putting Aidan O'Shea in full forward. Now, do I agree with that? I don't necessarily agree with that.
I don't mind when it goes to Croke Park, Martin. I'd probably, if it's a wintry day up in Galway next week, I'd have him out the middle of the field. That'd be my opinion.
But he has stuck to his principles on that. And Aidan O'Shea has been very effective in there. There was a couple of one-on-ones today that he kind of... when you think of the 1v1 situation, do you remember the high ball that came in the first half to Killian, it was? Yeah. And he broke the ball out to Kevin McLaughlin, who got a lovely score. Yeah. And the number of times Aidan O'Shea came in, not alone did he win it, but he sucks two or three other guys around him. And as well as that, then there is a flexibility and a freedom given to them that they can interchange, move in and out as the occasion demands. Yeah. And you saw that again and again. How many times did you see Killian O'Connor back in his full back line today? How many times did you see Tommy Conroy?
He's winning breaking ball
everywhere. Yeah. And Aidan O'Shea the same thing, but primarily Aidan was up front. Yes, he was back in the middle of the field and in the half back line at the time, but primarily up front. And that is a huge transition in his role, but also as a consequence of that in the way the team is playing.
100%, because what it does is it attracts the people in. You remember when you were back in your day and you'd get a big man, all of a sudden the half man goes to him because he's so dangerous. Now all of a sudden you've got a bit extra space, and it makes that difference. And we have to remember, Aidan got an all-star full forward of 15 in 2015. Remember his three goals against Sligo, his demolition of Neil McGee above in Croke Park that day in the quarterfinal.
Demolished Neil McGee.
Did you find more space when you were playing with him in full forward? Do you think Tommy will like?
100%. And Tommy gives the two lads. He gives Killian is there, and just after taking a free or something, his man shoots up the pitch. Conroy is his. Joe, he's got the legs and he's energy and he's young, and you'd send him after him. Do you know what I'm saying?
But that's a very important point that Andy's made. Got the legs. You look at the speed Paddy Durkin, you look at the speed of Owen McLaughlin, you look at the speed of Dushin Mullen, you look at the speed of Tommy Conroy. Those guys have serious pace, and serious pace, I should say. I was mixing up my P's and my S's. but that's something that is God given. Yeah, you can't train that into a guy. That is God given.
I feel Ian Burke in that league game, his head was wrecked, because he's one of my favourite footballers in the country, Ian Burke, in terms of his pure talent. But by God, when he was running after Oisín Mullen, he doesn't want to have to do that next weekend.
Yeah, and if we can move on to next game, we are now, the trap is set. Trap is set, let's not dress it up. The trap is set, and Galway didn't come a bad team overnight. And you've seen it against Dublin. Galway are a good team. Mayo are a good team. It's going to be and how we react to them changing their game plan, how they react to us with the huge pace, what's the weather going to bring us, you know, the lack of atmosphere, what's going to happen, we don't know. So we go into it, yes, we're excited after today, but we go in with a bit of caution as well.
And throw in Salt Hill. Yeah. You get a stormy day in Salt Hill. Oh my God, all bets are off. But another factor, remember today, Rob, what it was a hugely important thing today, we didn't pick up an injury. We didn't pick up an injury, which is fabulous.
Maybe Dermot. But maybe. I seen him jogging out there for his bottle after. Yeah. So
some goal just to finish, lads, before I let you both go. Dermot's finished, my God.
I thought the most important thing, you could see them waiting out here at the side, and Owen McLaughlin waited on the left-hand side here, in under the stand, and he waited for it. And when he got the ball, he cut it, didn't he, Martin? He cut to the middle of the goal. If he goes down the left-hand side there, that goal never happens. But he cuts diagonal to the goal, leaves the space to Dermot. Beautiful finish.
And when you think of it too, Rob, the first game of the National League this year, Roscommon conceded two goals against Laois. They didn't concede a goal in any of the next six league games. And then all of a sudden today, Mayo knifed them, absolutely knifed them. And maybe on one or two other occasions, I think, if the occasion demanded, they could have got in for a goal. Remember a few times in the second half they were inside?
Like even young Carr's one there, where he takes James Carr when he takes the shot at the last. He's one-on-one inside, he could have went for it, you know.
And even Killian, the time he punched the ball over the bar, I think if the occasion demanded it and if the score needed it, he would have gone for his goal. Yeah. But no, all of it was very much a deserved victory. Could have been by a lot more. I was a little bit bothered coming up to halftime that our territorial advantage and our possession advantage and the overall quality of our game wasn't reflected in the score. Yeah. And the 6-point lead didn't flatter us. It could have easily been 9 or 10.
Just one thing on the coaching side of it, like James Burke, Kieran McDonald, Conor Finn. The condition on that of the Mayo boys is really impressive. Like, I'll be honest with you, I didn't think, the fight back that I thought was going to come, Roscommon didn't have the athleticism of Mayo, they didn't have the speed, they didn't have the fitness, and on top of the football then, you know, and then that's why the gap stayed at 6-7 points for the entire game.
So is it to finish us, people think about Galway, is it fair to say now that any kind of idea that maybe Roscommon are better than Galway has to be taken off the table now? Galway are going
Galway,
to be
Galway are different. It's a different ball game completely. You kind of park that game now.
It's hard to park it though. We get excited in Mayo.
No, I wouldn't get overly excited. It's fabulous. I agree with you, Robert. It's fabulous to have won this game today, and I am excited about the performance. For example, I see him walking down passes at the moment. I was excited about the 10 minutes.
Hey, lads! Congrats! The
10 minutes Jordan Flynn gave.
John Flynn, the ball very, he wants to set up that he wins a kick out and sets up
very well. But yeah. Galway will be drooling to get at us next weekend. Wait till you see. They'll be drooling. They'll be thinking Pádraig Joyce will have them primed to kind of put that result in Tuam a few weeks ago to bed, and it'll be a different game. And they showed the following Sunday after they played us, they played Dublin, and they were bloody competitive. Yeah. They got their eyes open that day. And more than their eyes opened.
You heard me giving a shout there. Just the two lads from Westport, Mark Moran and Rory Brickerton, made their debuts. Championship debut today from Mark, I think. Rory made his debut. Massive achievement coming from the under 20s, playing well for their club, getting a rewarded senior. It's brilliant. But going to the Galway game. Look at the battle between the managers, Martin, before we go. Armbuck has two, James has two All-Stars, won 4 Connacht titles, won a National League. Pádraig, probably one of the greatest forwards ever to play out of Connacht. Do you know? No, there's battles, never mind on the pitch, there's battles on the sideline, never mind anything else, and it's fascinating. And I'd love it if there was 30,000 at it, if I'm being honest, Martin. I would, but it's it's great.
You'll have a few seagulls.
we hope it's a great game. And if anyone wants us to work, myself and Martin are both better.
we'll get you on the podcast.
I might get a swim in Black Rock.
Thank you very much. The lads are talking about passes. I have a feeling Martin Carney and Andy Moran will be at the games going forward. They'll certainly be in high demand. You can hear their analysis there. It's fantastic. They really set the scene for us. I'm excited listening to them. I'm also now building my nerves a little bit, as usual. I spoke about nerves last week as well. Maybe it's just a natural state of being when you're a Mayo fan. But, like, you know, that's the awful thing about sports sometimes. We fail to just take it in, drink it in, Edwin. This was brilliant. This was a game we were supposed to be under a lot of pressure. This is a Roscommon team. Big rivals. People who live around the border, we don't, but know all about that. And this is a huge victory for me. We should just enjoy it for what it is. First Connacht final in 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, when you put it like that, first Connacht final in since 2015 here in the Hyde against Sligo, and how much water under the bridge has been since then. And yeah, I think no more than the Galway game in the league, you know, you can, I suppose, project beyond the game and overanalyze and overscrutinize and ask the question, where are you at? The reality is, it's very hard to know until a given day. The Galway game in the league was a fantastically enjoyable game in isolation. And there was a lot of factors that meant Mayo won that game by such a convincing margin and scored 217.5. A lot of it was Mayo's brilliance, but Galway contributed to that as well. I think the same is true here. Mayo were really, really good, but Roscommon were off the level. And when you have that, there's going to be a gap between the two teams. And Mayo, you know, the goal just before the water break hammered home that advantage. And from then on in, it was kind of, they could have won by more, but they were always in control. They were never led by anything less than 6 points. What does that mean for 7 days' time? It's hard to know. This game was well set up for Mayo today in terms of, there was a bit of talk about Roscommon. There was nervousness in Mayo generally. James Horne was asked about that. He says they don't take any heed of that. They've enough going on without worrying about what people are saying. But I do think that would feed into them. Like, there was kind of an element of backs to the wall, and, you know, why are people having doubts about us? We'll go out and show what we're capable of. Against Galway now next weekend, they're playing Galway after beating them by 17 points 3 weeks ago. That presents a different psychological challenge.
In the bag, what could possibly go wrong?
That's the thing. Like, that's
John's blog had a return of 800 odd votes, and it's usually a good, accurate kind of little snapshot of those online Mayo fans who are really enthusiastic about it. I've never seen it at 40% for a game like this, for the opposition, predicting a Roscommon win. I don't think it'll be anywhere close to 40% against Galway.
Yeah, and I think that's sums it up. Like, you know, Sean Rice was the only person I could find in the last week that was confident, not cautiously confident, that said that we'll win this game, Mayo will win this game. Anyone else I spoke to was like, oh God, Jesus, it'll come down to the wire, and we don't know what team is going to start, we don't know what team is going to be named, when the team was named, what team will start, and who's going to be on the bench, who's going to come on, how is he going to, what sort of players is he looking at using today? And there was a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unknowns, and that's the case when you start, when you give 8 guys their debuts up in Leitrim, you know, you're not sure where you're at with the starting team, because are you giving these guys a run because it's Leitrim, or genuinely do you see yourself using the majority of these guys the following week against Roscommon? And the answer is that, yeah, James Horne wasn't just giving fellas a token debut. Like, he was giving guys a game because he felt that they had something really meaningful to offer.
But look at the three guys he brought in, though. Kevin McLaughlin, Dermot O'Connor came in today, and Chris Barrett. They're three very experienced guys. Were any of them the absolute standouts? No, but I think they all did a really important job today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there was, we saw from those three guys and from other experienced guys like Lee Keegan, Paddy Durkin, Aidan O'Shea, Killian O'Connor, we saw, not that they were at their absolute best, but they were so good, they did everything so right, and they were, Keegan in particular and Paddy Durkin as well, were just really up for it, and you could really sense that. And like, I don't think we could say that Lee Keegan was really up for it in the league games, like, but championship against Roscommon, when Roscommon are being talked up, I think that helps someone like Lee Keegan get focused and be where he needs to be mentally for a game like this. And then you have the younger lads as well, so many of them played so well, not just the new guys, but then you have guys like some of the 2016 under 21 team who mightn't necessarily have been nailed on starters in everyone's heads, like Stephen Cohen and Conor Loftus, you know, who have kind of been in and out of teams. Well, Stephen Cohen has been more in than out, in fairness, but I thought they were really, really good in hard working and diligent today. Like, Loftus is, he's not a traditional midfielder, but he just worked so hard, turned over so much ball, always went looking for work. And Stephen Cohen, just anytime he got up the field, he worked his arse off to get back in and fill in as a sweeper and fill the gap in front of the full forward line. So I just think there was a real workmanlike nature to Mayo's performance, from their oldest players to the youngest players, and I think that was the key difference between the teams.
All right, before we hand to Billy Joe Pando, we got to thank our sponsors who have delivered our new gear today. GRG, a Mayo company based in Balladreen, and yeah, we're looking a little bit sharper than we were before we put them on. Let's put it that way. Our body warmers with Mayo podcast on it. We stood out. Everyone knew who we were when I was asking for interviews.
Yeah, fair play to Keane Hanley, Sheroz Ackerman, Tom Parsons in GRG. They're doing their best to make make a silk purse out of a sow's ear with us, you know. So, but they've definitely improved us. Where the starting point was before that, I don't know. But
it's quite a big ask, actually.
Yeah,
to make
quite
us
a big ask.
Good.
But in fairness, no more than on the football field. None of the three lads back from the challenge. Definitely useful here today as well. It's not freezing cold, but you know, normally there's a fair bit of body heat in the stand from a Mayo Roscommon game. You can't even sit close to someone, never mind having no supporters here. So yeah, it was cold enough at the back of the stand, so the body warmers definitely paid their way. So yeah, thanks to the lads.
Yeah, we'll be showing them off in pictures and everything, and I think there's some beanie hats on the way just in time for the darkest depths of winter. Hopefully, as you say, we have plenty of opportunities to wear them here and now in 2020. Onwards to Billy Joe Patton, and don't forget there's lots more to come in the podcast sphere as well this week as we get ready for Galway. But before that, let's wrap up the weekend. There's a Munster final ongoing as we record this. Wonder how that turned out. In about 20 seconds, you're going to find out. Billy Joe Patton on the way home in the car, just coming into my hometown of Ballinrobe. We were listening to RT Radio 1 as the ball was being lobbed in towards the edge of the parallelogram down in Porkycreeve for what will go down as one of the all-time great GA moments. What a win for Cork. And it's actually kind of stolen all our thunder in terms of talking about Mayo for a few seconds. But wow, Gaelic football on its day with everything on the line. It can be some sport.
Well, that's it. And I think the people that will talk about, you know, favouring a straight knockout championship will say, well, you don't get, I suppose, the shock of a big upset. And this has probably been the biggest upset we've seen for quite a while. But, you know, Kerry Cork, it's Mayo Galway. Sometimes when one team is way more fancy than the other, that sort of rivalry levels the playing field a bit. So, it wasn't all that of a shock. Other thing as well, I think maybe under the radar a little bit, you know, Cork got to the Super 8s last year, you know, showed some promise. They've done what they've had to do in terms of the league. So they are improving, and they've obviously improved at quite a decent rate. And, you know, they're going to be, look, they'll have a difficult game. They'll know themselves, and it'll be a different challenge for them mentally against Tipperary. But it's a real opportunity for them to go and win a Munster title. And with this squeezed season, you know, you can find yourself on a couple of wins in playing for the big honours quite quickly.
Look, we might circle back a little bit to that, or maybe just a wider picture question at the end, right? But just for the next few minutes, let's focus on what we saw today in the Hyde. I mean, it's not what we expected, I think, overall, Billy Joe. I don't know, we didn't get a chance to talk to you in the preview show, but I mean, that was way more comfortable than I ever expected it to be in terms of the way it panned out.
Yes, and I think, and not to rain on anyone's parade, but I think that has a lot to do with the way Roscommon played. I don't think Roscommon played very well at all today. Even in the first 10 minutes, they had a bit of a platform around the middle of the field where they won some clean possession and created nothing with it. And that's kind of not good enough when you consider that they have forwards that I rate, you know, as good inter-county forwards. They had a couple of them on the bench. You know, I think Jeremy Mercer come on and kicked a couple of points. You know, he's a quality finisher. Look, Inda Smith, Donny Smith, Cox, Carl Craig, all really, really good footballers. The disappointing thing for Roscommon will be that, you know, apart from maybe a splash of Donny Smith being effective in the first half, you didn't see anything out of the rest of those players, even when they had situations where they were winning quick, clean possession in the first 10 minutes of that game. But other people will say, well, Mayo didn't let them play. And that is very true, because Mayo were really intense. They did really, really well in the middle third of the field, I thought, in terms of maybe not winning kickouts like the first 10 minutes, which was, you know, like a bit of a letdown. But just in terms of general pressure, Roscommon, every time Roscommon tried to bring the ball out, it was difficult. There was no short kickouts for them. They were being moved left to right, showed real power in that area of the field. And it was kind of typical of what James Horan has done with Mayo teams when they've been at their best. That high energy, aggression, tackling, creating turnovers, everyone getting involved, everyone attacking on the turnover, whether you're a cornerback or a wingback or everyone coming back. You saw times where Killian O'Connor was back, even defending. So that was impressive. So there was an element of it that Mayo just didn't let Roscommon play as well.
Do you know, I was just a quick rough calculation on the players we've used so far. So again, I have to say, forgive me if I'm wrong. Edwin McGrail is usually good for these numbers, but I think we've used 28 players after today in four games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess there's a simple question in that. When you have guys like Tom Parsons pushing for a place on the bench, Seamus O'Shea, Donal Vaughan, you know, I mean, we've said this a few times, Colin Boyle, he was itching to get on today. I was watching him up and down all the time. He was actually lucky enough to be among the subs. He has some wide selection. So you think back to what we say about 17, where it was like the selection on All-Ireland final day was 16 players trying to get 15 spots, and that was it. I mean, is it as simple as to say that Mayo now have exploded in terms of the options, or is that part of what a transition is and part of finding your team? I don't know. It's a huge amount of players.
It is. And look, maybe people have said to me in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks that maybe I was, you know, critical of the management team and critical of the decisions maybe they'd made in those league games. And I probably was, and I think it was fair. But the fact that Mayo have used that amount of many players, the fact that they're, you know, James Horne is actively in the process of developing these players. Some of them may not go on and have long intercounty careers at Mayo. I'm pretty sure some of them will. But that's all down to James Horne's capability as a coach to identify talent and improve it. And I think he went in with a clear mindset that he wanted to develop and have a situation where Mayo would have 22, 25 players that he could rely on in any given Sunday, whether it be a Connacht final or a National League final or an All-Ireland final. And he's, you know, trending towards that with some of the players he has. And it was absolutely necessary when you consider that the amount of the squad that have played an awful lot of football for Mayo over the last 10 years, and they can't go on forever. But that's probably why I rate, you know, James Horne as, you know, definitely Mayo's best manager in my lifetime, because he is developing players of a higher quality more so than any other manager has done in the past. And on the evidence of this year and on the evidence of these last four games, he's continuing to do that. And hopefully he will, you know, carry out that work over the next number of years and build a new team. And we'll get to enjoy where that team takes us over the next 10 years again. And that's really what I hope we see.
There were a number of moments where senior players were roaring at younger players for being a little bit too hasty in possession, maybe for a little bit of petulance. I'm not going to pick out any examples because I don't want to hang the players on one incident, but there were definitely, being at the ground, just there was a noticeable sense of players taking ownership of whatever the game plan was.
It's part of their development, and it's part of what makes a team work, in that you have to be able to have that communication. You know, if you're a young player coming into that team and you don't respect what Killian O'Connor or Aidan O'Shea or Lee Keegan tells you in a moment about what's the right thing to do for the team, well, then you probably shouldn't be there because they don't, you know, I'm not saying you should just always do what they tell you and all that. You have to fight your own corner sometimes and believe in yourself. But there were instances today that I could think of watching on the television where a young player maybe took a shot when they shouldn't have, or maybe should have, you know, instead of the right thing to do was to recycle. And that's fine. You get told that. That's part of the learning process. And in fact, it'd be much worse if a Killian or an Aidan was not saying those things and was not pulling up those young players, because, you know, you just bad habits would just continue to develop.
I would love, and you would love, and Mayo people would love to just salivate in this victory for ages, but like, we're all conditioned to immediately think of the next game. And there's no point of not saying this. Kerry are out of the championship. We have to accept that everyone's that little bit more on edge now, because we were all comfortable. Colm Keyes was on this podcast a few weeks ago saying, look, honestly, Mayo, best I can see for them is a Connacht title. Don't see them getting past Kerry. And now, all of a sudden, the whole world is upside down. How do we keep our heads? What's next in your mindset? Help us, Billy Joe. Help us settle down here. We can't possibly go from hoping for a Connacht title to thinking we can challenge for an All-Ireland, can we?
Well, the way to keep your head is do we want to be the team that goes out and underperforms against Galway, and then Galway go and find themselves winning an All-Ireland after playing three games. No, we don't. It'll go down in the record books as like one of those All-Irelands you see from the 20s or something, playing three games and winning the All-Ireland. But anyway, it is what it is. I think that the Mayo players and Mayo supporters have to, you know, be it's a 50-50 game. All right, the last two times we've played them in the league this year was a blowout. That was an anomaly. You won't have that at all. Galway were totally undercooked. They weren't focused in any way. That is definitely not going to be the case next Sunday. They're going to be much better, Galway. Even if you go back to the championship game last year, Galway started the game really poorly. So that'll be a huge point of emphasis for Pádraig Joyce over this week. And it would have been for the last couple of weeks, because he would imagine that they get over Sligo and they knew they were going to get a difficult game off either Mayo or Roscommon. He's had the opportunity to look at Mayo twice. He's got to see a bit more some of these young players, which he mightn't have known that much about. But at the same time, they've had the disadvantage of not really having a championship game, whereas Mayo are fairly battle hardened at this stage. So it's a 50-50 game, and there's a real opportunity for us to go and win a Connacht title, and we really shouldn't be thinking any further than that, because it's disrespectful to Galway to be thinking about Kerry or thinking about, you know, getting through Cork and getting to an All-Ireland final. And it's disrespectful to the Connacht title, really, because we haven't won one in 5 years. And we've been talking on this podcast for a couple of seasons about saying the priority for Mayo should be get that piece of silverware, reassess, move on. Okay, once upon a time, after Connacht finally got 3 or 4 weeks before you played an All-Ireland semi-final, or a couple of weeks before you go into, in modern times, go into Super 8s or whatever, it'll be a quick turnaround. But the game-by-game mentality should still be there. Just focus on this game, win the game, and move on. And I think the fact that it's for the Connacht title, I think that will be a nice reference point for James Horan and the senior players, because they'll be able to say to some of the younger players, look, you haven't won one of these yet. You know, before you can start considering yourself a proper player, you have to go out and win a Connacht title. And this is your opportunity. Now, do the right things and get there.
There's so much more I should be asking you if you want to preview the Galway game. It's too soon to do that. But I just want to ask you one thing, right? Which is, O'Rourke and Compton won a lot of really clean ball in that first half, okay? And at no point in the entire game did I see Mayo in that kind of zone. You know, possibly they were incredibly brilliant at the breaking ball, you know, and Wicks hoovering up the breaks. But do we need a clean catcher in there? I'll tell you when there was a point in the entire game where I saw it, when Jordan Flynn came on and caught a brilliant ball and set up an attack. Do we need a bit of that? Is that going to be vital against Galway?
I think it probably will. They have a number of, if they had everyone available to them, they have a number of options around the middle of the field. I think it will come to that. There's no doubt on the game today, Mayo didn't want, you know, close down the Roscommon kickout very well. Lavin had no option but to hammer it down the middle. And Roscommon did really well for the first 10 minutes of those balls. Now, Mayo picked it up and knocked the ball down, and as you said, did well on the breaks. If it's a situation where Mayo can turn all Galway's kickouts into a 50-50 ball around the middle of the field, and every ball is hitting the deck and we're picking and there's picking up breaks, well, I think James Horan will feel pretty good about being in that situation. So if that's what they're going to focus on in the limited time they have, well, that's fine. What he will be saying is that what happened in the first 10 minutes is unacceptable, and that you can't allow, you know, good players to make 3 or 4 clean marks on the middle of the field, because the likelihood is that Galway would not butcher those opportunities for quick attacks like Roscommon did, and they would be able to create something down the other end. So I really think that will be something that he'll be able to address. And it'll come down to just saying to whoever's out there, whether it's Loftus or Ruan or Jordan Flynn or Fionn McDonagh or whatever, Jeremy O'Connor, whoever finds themselves out there, that you just have to compete in the air better and make sure that ball is not cleanly caught. I think the other thing as well, with the football this time of year, with conditions, I think you saw really good game management from the Mayo team today in terms of, you know, doing the right things in the situation of the game, and which I'd been very critical of in the, you know, the Tyrone game, the whole way they played, playing Aidan O'Shea up front against the wind. Whereas you look at today, it was the right game plan. With the wind, he played up front. Even when we were under pressure for the first 10 minutes, the temptation would have been there to move him out of there and bring him into midfield where he needed the help. They didn't do that. They persisted with that. It persisted with the plan. It was the right thing to do. And then in the second half, they brought around him out of the middle, and he was a physical presence, and he did really well in ball retention. So you're going to have to play the conditions as well in the Connacht final, so in terms of where you use your players. So that's something that'll be a consideration, particularly in that midfield battle.
Yeah, there was one midfield ball that O'Shea won in the second half, and it was just like, it was purely down to physicality. He just ploughed in and won the ball, and it just ended up in his hands. So sometimes you just wonder, by hook or by crook, you just need possession, and whatever works, works. And that's what Mayo did today.
Yeah, and then you see in that middle third, when you win possession, you have so many dangerous players, whether it's like Jeremy O'Connor, Kevin McLaughlin, you know, that their experience coming back into the team was a huge positive today. Paddy Durkin, you know, we can't talk about this game without mentioning his, you know, he's one of the best footballers in the country. There's no doubt. I don't know, is there any halfback in the country that you'd swap him for at the minute? I can't think of one. He's just fantastic. Where you can actually say to him, go and do a job on their most talented footballer. Not only do that, be an, you know, an attacking threat at all times as well. Absolutely phenomenal. So the way he's playing and you know, working out of breaking ball situations and driving forward, really dynamic stuff. You know, just really, really good to watch.
Yeah, he was magic today. Lee Keegan as well. There was one point in the second half where a kick out came out to him and he just took a look behind him and then caught it. And it was just something about the whole process that just said to me, Lee is in full happiness right now. He is at peace with his football at the moment, like he hasn't been for a wee while.
And I think that's down to health. I think he's healthy. I think he looks obviously fitter. He looks like he's moving across the ground. He's probably not dealing with injuries. He's had to deal with a couple of injuries, you know, the ankle thing last year. And he just looks like he's moving better. And I think you could say the same thing for Killian. Looks like, you know, they're moving better in terms of his injuries. And that's, they're all positive things for Mayo. And particularly when you get older and you have a lot of football played, you know, it gets harder and harder to play through injuries, because the people that are planning against you, you know every little thing about you. You have so much of your game is on tape that they know exactly what you're going to do nearly before you're going to do it. So you need to be physically as good as you can be to be able to execute what you want. And that whole thing with Lee Keegan kind of playing there and having that license at times to go forward, I definitely think you're going to see one of these games where he's going to see one of those trademark runs of his where he finds himself deep, very deep into the opposition's half, maybe with an opportunity to get a goal.
Any other highlights from today?
No, I think I just have to give credit to James Horn. I think they got most things. You got practically everything right. I think that it's pretty obvious he had a bit of a plan. I think it's obvious that his intention was to bring some of the more experienced fellas back into the team. I thought that bringing Chris Barrett back in, you know, helped out Lee Keegan, helped out the other people in the half-back line. I think, again, I've said already that McLaughlin and Jim O'Connor, I think, had a positive effect considering their experience and the way they played and combined in that first half for scores and assists. But there are things that James Horn would want to talk about. Like the second quarter really wasn't that good. There was a lot of maybe loose football in that. But really good position going into a game against Galway, which will be a 50-50 game. And they're probably going to need, you know, a few other forwards to come on stream and get moving. Like Tommy Conroy did absolutely nothing wrong, kicked a lovely point himself. But you just want to see him more involved. And I think we're going to need him to be more involved as the next week.
Brilliant. Well, we'll finish it off with this. It's such a fascinating championship now, isn't it? It's been an interesting 4 weeks. Mayo seem to be, you know, above the curve of where we might have expected them to be. I think it's safe to say in terms of the football they're playing, maybe we would have hoped for them to hang in there in Division 1, but that's a whole other story and that's for another time. But yeah, they seem to be in a decent spot. Would you agree?
I think so. I think they're doing pretty good. Look, with knockout football week to week, an injury can derail you, you know, COVID could derail you. There are things that can happen quite quickly and would leave you kind of very short for a game in a short space of time. So it's going to be very hard to plan for that. So I think that's why it's the mental side of the preparation that's absolutely, you know, fundamental to this and being ready for it. And I think that the mantra James Horn has had all through his manager career is, you know, next game, we're going to look for a performance. And if we get the performance, it might be good enough for it'll probably be good enough for the result. And I think that's what they're going to look ahead for the next week. And that's important because you can't think too far ahead with the way this championship is, because everything is coming so quickly, you really only can focus on what's immediately in your windscreen.